In a world where multi-million dollar satellites are used to find Tupperware in the woods, through the magic of the internet, which is just a series of tubes, coming to you from the surface of planet Earth, the Slaga Geocaching Podcast is about to begin.
You are listening to episode number 65 of the Slaga Geocaching Podcast, produced by Paul Konopacki of St. Louis, Missouri. Paul talks with Sue and Brian Steele of the geocaching team of Smiling Steels.
Today I bring you Sue and Brian Steele, known in the geocaching world as Smiling Steels. Before an interview, my usual research consists of looking over the geocaching.com profile pages, checking out any links from there to a homepage, then using Google to search by geocache name or real name. I was able to find information on Sue in cache logs, a personal blog, and e-opinion notes. However, I was not able to find anything on Brian, I think partly because he doesn't cache much, doesn't blog, and has deliberately chosen to keep a low profile on the internet. And I don't blame him. You will hear us talk about guns, baseball, and the caches that Sue has placed. The As You Wish cache is one she placed in Robertsville State Park near Union. It is a tribute to a movie that she and I both enjoy very much, The Princess Bride. I have a link to a movie review and the cache page on my podcast show note. After the formal interview is over, we talk about the Newtown webcam cache in the St. Charles area. We discuss what has become of GPS the Movie, an independent mystery horror film completed years ago about a small group of students who go on a GPS hunt that results in dire consequences. It has yet to hit the big screen or be distributed on DVD. During the podcast, when you hear this sound, it means there has been a change in the conversation or physical location. Join me now. Have seats.
I don't know anything about podcasting, so this would be...
He can take out the belches and the gurgles and things like that.
Yeah, I can do that.
Let's roll.
You're the geocacher. You're the spouse who...
He's a has-to-be.
I couldn't find much about you on the internet, which may be a good thing. And you have a blog.
Mm-hmm. She would be the one with the time to sit and...
Yeah, I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Just give me 30 minutes of good stuff.
Wow.
We'll do our best. No, we're boring.
To remind me before you leave, I put a thumbnail picture of the people that I interviewed.
You could probably borrow the one from your blog of us together. It's a decent picture. There's another one of us actually geocaching.
Yeah, they actually put that on geocaching.com from Moga06. They had it on their homepage. We were kind of off to ourselves because it was the first year.
Yeah, we didn't participate in many of the group activities.
Because we had all three of our kids.
The kids and the baby was pretty little at the time.
Do you want to talk about what you do for a living, where you grew up? And from what I understand, you're pretty much a local girl.
Yeah, both of us.
Did you graduate from Pacific?
Here I am, Paul Konopacki, again in my dining room with a couple of geocachers. I have Sue and Brian Steele of the geocaching team called Smiling Steele. We'll find out what they have to smile about, but first introduce yourselves. Tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're from.
I'm Sue. I've grown up in Pacific all my life, and I'm a stay-at-home mom. Been that way for about 12 years now. I have three children. Mallory is 3, Charlie is 6, and Alex is going to be 11.
My name is Brian. I'm also a Pacific longstanding resident all my life. Went to Pacific High School, where I met Sue. Weren't sweethearts in school, but soon thereafter we joined together and were married about 12 years ago now. I work in the area at Merit's Performance Improvement Company. I have two large accounts that I'm responsible for, one in the hospitality industry and one in the telco industry. So what we have are our merchandise programs, which we fulfill in-house merchandise, your catalog program. And then we have point-based programs that are more of your debit card type.
Have you done a run through the warehouse? Do they still do that?
Yeah, absolutely. We're actually revitalizing that effort and marketing it quite a bit more as an experiential reward for our clients and put a lot of effort into really building it as a big event. It's not really my role in the organization, but I did develop for that tracking system. They get kind of real real-time results of what their point values are.
You grew up in Pacific, and it seems like you guys got married right out of high school.
She was a year out. 94 was when we were married.
95
was when we were married.
I graduated in 94.
Edit that, please.
And why did you want to stay in the Pacific area? Was there any desire to say, let's get out of here?
I never really thought it would be any different.
We had discussed at one point in our, you know, dreaming of what life would be as we, before we were married, and thinking, you know, maybe we want to go out on the frontier and out to Wyoming or something grand.
But you have to have money to do that.
Oh, and that was our first reality check in life.
Sell everything and just pack the van and go.
Well, we didn't have anything. That was the problem.
Family's here. Parents, grandparents, cousins, and aunts and uncles and so forth.
I'm going to school to be a nurse. An RN. I go to East Central College.
You have a blog online?
I do.
How often do you usually write into that?
Whenever I do something exciting, you know, find a really cool video on YouTube, I'll post it.
Midwest girl finding her passion?
Yes, that's me.
Around here, you said that when you grew up, you didn't do a lot of camping.
Never did anything outdoors.
Are you making up for that?
Absolutely, yeah.
The woman I married is not the woman I have today, which I can say, though, I'm happy the progress we've...
I don't know. The past few years have really discovered the outdoors and just love it so much. I would rather be hiking than shopping.
You seem to have developed a passion for guns.
Yes, I have.
How did you get introduced?
My uncle's cabin.
Yeah, that was the first gun that I shot, and that's been...
That's been a
number
of years.
Many years ago, and it was a handgun.
.22 pistol.
And I was like, wow, that's pretty good. This past Christmas, I got a shotgun for trap. Trap shooting is what I wanted to do.
Which you experienced last year for the first time through...
MOW. And I just went to my second one a couple weeks ago, and it's just a lot of fun.
Where is that held?
It's down in Windermere. It's on Lake of the Ozarks. It's for women only. You can bring your daughters. They have to be 14 or older. They teach you about handguns, survival in the wilderness. This year I learned how to turkey hunt and deer hunt. I am so excited to go turkey hunting now. I can't wait to get my hunter's education. I'd like to do turkey hunting because deer hunting, I don't know. That's a pretty big animal. I'll stick with the turkey first. And I have a shotgun, so turkey hunting, that's a good fit for me. I took my shotgun class at Hinges. That's really nice. The one across from the prison, they have 9 trap fields and I think several
St.
Louis
fields. Trap and skeet.
Yeah, where Hinges only has a couple of trap fields.
Everything in Pacific is in proximity to the train tracks. Since we have the 3 lines there, well, 2 tracks from Union Pacific and then the Southern Line. Very active railroad.
And Pacific and Eureka both being old railroad towns.
85 trains a day. We live in about a 120-year-old home down in Pacific. It amazes me at times that the house hasn't had more foundational problems. I mean, it's 3 blocks from the tracks, and when the coal trains come through, you feel the earth is shaking.
On the other end, when Amtrak comes through, they go by fast.
Yes.
My first attempt to find a cache was the one up on top of the bluffs in Pacific. I can't remember the name of it.
Chainmail?
Yes, chainmail.
Yeah, that was our second cache that we ever did.
And I couldn't find it. I think I went like 6 times. I was just getting really frustrated. And one time I was up there by myself and there were some teenage guys up there in the car watching me. And then they started talking to me and I just blew them off and I don't think they liked that very much. You know, I don't know if it was missing or what, but I did eventually find it.
Yeah, I think we found out that it was missing, that they had brush hogged up there and they had to be replaced.
It was a nice location. It's obviously that where a lot of kids go up to party. We did chainmail back in August of 2001.
Oh my goodness.
So it's been there that long. Yeah.
I had no idea it was there that long.
I think my actual first find was in Shaw's. A Tim, PM, and Molly cache.
Tell me a little bit about how you got started in geocaching. How did the whole thing come about into your life?
Chip is my first cousin, who is a long-standing military lifer. He's very into the outdoor activities, and he's participated in this for, I don't know, probably since 2004, and has gone gung-ho into it.
He came for a visit, was telling us about it, super excited about it, recommended the GPS that I bought. Bought it, went out and found it.
Which receiver do you guys have?
I have the eTrex Legend. No, I'm happy with it. We hardly ever all go together, you know, unless we're on vacation. He usually has tunnel vision whenever he has the GPS in his hand, though, because he hardly ever has it. And then when he does, it's like he forgets about everybody else.
So I walk ahead a little bit further, maybe at a little faster pace.
Right. Amoga 06, he was off and, you know, the terrain was pretty up and down there in Illinois.
Had the GPS with me when I went to London and also with D.C.,
which happened to be the same weekend of the spring picnic. So I didn't get to do any of the caches over there. Okay. So I was really bummed about
you
that.
You could have brought mine. I had my CSX and I didn't even use it.
Oh, that's okay. But that was pretty exciting. He got to go to Hyde Park and find some caches.
Most interesting part of all this that I find is that the caches tend to be in places that they're historical or there's some significance to them, but you might not know to go there just on your regular tourist path. It takes you off the tourist path a little bit and gives you a different perspective of the local areas.
One of my favorite ones is Thunder Monks in Rolla. All Hung Up, I think is what it's called. It was a multi-cache, and it had lots of history to it. I love that, and I did that on my way back, I think, or to MOW last year. I think it was my first experience of a cache like that, you know, where you learn the historical background to the area, and I just really, really liked it a lot.
I remember one of the first few caches that we had found was in Sullivan. It was called the General's Mansion. Well, I've been in Sullivan hundreds of times in my life. Never knew that this Civil War General's Mansion was tucked back into a neighborhood that had a little historical reserve of about 2-3 acres. And that's the example where it can takes you to a place that could be in your own backyard. You had no idea that it was there.
Yeah. People are deliberately taking you to these spots. There's a cashier, cashier. Oh, look, there's not a cash there.
I know.
I got to put one there.
Love using the Google Earth to see the profile.
I love Google Earth.
Where all the caches are in a location.
There's a benchmark. I don't think I've done it, though. Maybe I have. I can't remember. Right by the railroad tracks on Pacific. It's next to a restaurant.
On the side.
Yeah.
That's about the only one we did.
For me, they're not as exciting. I don't know why. It's just, they're not.
There's no trinkets there.
Yeah.
And our kids love trinkets. They
yes,
think they're getting
they
something, a new toy from a toy store or something.
Would you rather do a 2-mile hike to find a cache, or you don't mind maybe with the kids, it's okay to just run around town, and if there happens to be a cache near a playground, that's okay.
The playground caches, I read a lot of blogs that the mom's giving the evil eyes to guys going up, and I understand that. That kind of puts them in an awkward position, you know, the cacher who's trying to find it. If you're a man and you're going to a playground, if you don't feel comfortable with it, don't do it. But I think it depends on the weather, really, for me, if I do urban or rural caches.
If you were bringing the kids along with you, would you seek those out and give the kids a chance to play around? You find a cache, they play.
It depends. Well, now I just try and do it whenever I'm out. Like if I go into Manchester or Crestwood, I just try and do the caches wherever I'm going to be. And if kids happen to be with me, they're with me.
You don't shy away, though, from the 2-mile hike down the trail just because the kids
no.
are with you, because they're troopers. They,
oh,
they go
yeah.
right along. We've had some neat urban caches, though. What was your birthday last year where we just said, okay, we're going to downtown St. Louis?
Yeah, because that's not someplace I would go on my own or take the kids, just because not really being familiar downtown in the streets. We hit around 10 or
yeah,
11 caches
10.
By the arch.
We hit the riverfront.
And we found the one about the Indian mound.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the rock.
The rock in the middle of the street, in the middle of the road.
Oh.
You can't be very, you know, inconspicuous yeah. being in the middle of the road.
Here's another paper trail.
Oh, no.
This is comments on e-opinions.
Oh, wow. Gosh, he really did do some research, didn't he? Gosh. Stalker material. Gatlinburg, our camera, our truck.
You still have that same opinion of our truck.
Yeah, I like our truck. And my MP3 player. Well, this one about Gatlinburg, I think I actually emailed somebody at the e-opinions because we stayed at the Jellystone.
Oh, right.
And I guess they don't really want you to do opinions about places or something. But it was such a really great place, and the people there were so nice.
Well, that's a business. Jellystone, the park.
Yeah, the way they had it worded, it made it sound like they didn't want
it's not necessarily
you
like
to review
attraction.
The business. Because I guess it could be somebody who worked there that was trying to
I
make the business
saying.
Look
yeah.
good.
Smiling Steals. Why the geocaching name?
It's just always been our email address.
The Eternal Optimist.
I'm an optimist, yes.
She loves the smiling aspect of life.
Since you were the main cacher, Is it because you don't have time or you're just not as interested, you have other things to do?
I enjoy it when I'm out. Usually I'm just like, when do you have time to go out? I think her schedule allows it a little bit easier than mine because she can take the kids and go. There's not too many appointments during the day that she would have to keep. Sometimes I just don't physically feel up to it. I have a little arthritis that flares up on me.
When you get chigger bites, they itch and they last a long time.
Yeah.
Who knows about chigger bites?
They love me, too. He can go out and not get them.
No problem.
And ticks, too. They love me, but him, I guess it's your skin makeup. I know a lot of people that are like that. Either the husband or the wife gets them and the other one doesn't.
Poison ivy. How are you guys with things like
not
that?
Not good. I typically get a dose a year. Oh. Sue even bought ankle guards last year because she was getting chigger so bad. So when she's going into the weeds, try to prevent it.
Either don't go or just suck it up, you know.
Vink here over at Route 66 Park is when you had such a problem when you were maybe placing that cache and the ticks.
I think people have said that on the logs about that cache. Lots of ticks.
I don't know if it's due to the heavy population of animals there. Or
plenty of deer.
Yeah. That's the glorious part of geocaching.
It's worth it. It is so worth it.
What drew you to geocaching and what makes you keep on coming back?
As a kid, I played in the woods, but you just find so many new bike paths. I just have found that the outdoors just makes me feel relaxed. I can't explain it. I feel at home there.
Zen type?
Yeah.
Being at one with nature?
I'm so comfortable and at ease there. So if I am stressed, I just go out there and I feel so much better. That's a free cure-all, so why not just keep doing it? And I want my kids to enjoy the outdoors.
I think that's a big part of it for us, too. It's just having the kids have an activity that they can enjoy and start appreciating nature.
When you're out there with the kids, are you also using that as an educational opportunity?
That's funny that you should say that. My intention was to finish up the Shaw Nature Reserve caches. We went out there about a month ago. It was closed, so you couldn't drive back there. So I was like, okay, we went into the visitor center, and there's a backpack that you can rent and go find out if Freddy the Fish can live in his habitat or if it's too dirty. You can test the water, the temperature and everything. So we did that. We walked back there, and we saw snakes and turtles, and we just had such a good time. The kids tested the water. They were the little scientists.
Had to convert Celsius to Fahrenheit and all this.
Yeah, $4. You know, they became little scientists. And we didn't go caching, but we just had so much fun hiking down there. And I think we spent like an hour and a half doing that.
And our oldest, he's got to be 11 next month, and he's Mr. Scientist. So.
And they tried to catch the little tadpoles and look at him through the magnifying glass. So all three of them were just having a ball doing that.
To Powder Valley lately?
I have never been there. I would like to go there.
Oh, you never been there?
I've never been there.
That's an amazing place.
My sister-in-law was telling me what a great place it is.
It's a good little place, a little museum teaching things for kids, and I think they've revamped it a little bit. I haven't been back since they redid it.
Actually, I took my team at work there for an afternoon getaway.
For geocaching.
And what we did at the event was placed caches on the trail. Kind of used as team building activity.
All right.
Had a little ad hoc geocaching event there. Introduced them to it. One other team member who had GPS that knew about it. This was really their first time participating in it, so they were interested in it now, so it was kind of fun. We went to Aruba last year. We found 13. We got to see every inch of that island. Of course, it's only a 9-mile island. Hitting the trail in this little Jeep we rented and went from one tip of the island to the other. Even got to see Venezuela off the coast because one of the caches was kind of placed on the side of the coast where you can, if you got down there, you can see Venezuela in the distance.
Of the caches that you've placed, do you place them together?
I've never
I've done them all.
Been okay. To one of her caches. She's done all the planning, all the placing.
Split down the middle, Route 66.
That's part two, because my permit expired. It's right there for people traveling through. And such a neat park. The fact that the deer are so close to you. So I thought, you know, people traveling through, if they could experience that and never have.
Union Park, is that the one that was in a shelter?
Yeah.
Did I go to that once and there was actually two?
Yeah, I'm confused about that because I've been back and the last time I went back, I didn't see either one of them. It must have been replaced someplace other than where I put it. And I didn't have enough time to really check on it. So I really need to go back up there and do that. I
looked in the corner up in the rafter and I pulled one out. And then suddenly there's another one. There's two of them there. Like,
I read
which
that
is
in
which? I think I signed the log on one of them and I thought, well, maybe one was reported missing. So another one was put there in this place.
That's what
and now
I'm
suddenly
assuming.
Two of them show.
Oh, that's not your cache. You.
Yeah, it is my cache in Union Park. Oh, I had those little containers that his cousin Chip gave us for Christmas. I just love those little containers. They're so cool.
Now, what I really liked, and I didn't know that I would, and it took me a while, but at least it took me to the place that not enough people go to, is the Robertsville.
I love that cache. It's my favorite.
One of the reasons I liked it, because that's one of my favorite movies, too. I probably don't watch as much as you do.
I have watched it quite a few times. I was thinking about that. I should have made it where each stage is a cache find. That way, maybe more people would go out there, but they would be really close together to make it each individual cache.
We're talking about the As You Wish cache, and it's a multi in Robertsville State Park. That was the one where the final stage, I thought, no, she couldn't have put it way out there. I don't think that's part of the park. I started walking there, and I thought, no, I need to go back, and I checked another waypoint, the one that's down by the river, in this tree with had all sorts of looking like mushrooms and stuff on it.
Well, the Mad Chef was the first one to go out there and do it, and I messed up that fourth waypoint. So I had to go back out there and fix it, and I felt so bad because he drove all the way out there to do it, and then I had screwed it up.
And a few times where I did a multi, and two people ended up behind Sam's Club near the dumpsters. It was nowhere near where I wanted to go.
I'm glad to know I'm not the only one.
I'd have a cacher double check it before I publish it. Make sure that
write that note down.
I know. Well, I don't think I'll be doing another cache like that because that's pretty involved.
How many people have done the As You Wish?
Not many. I don't know if it's because you have to look at the movie, you have to do a little bit more research, and it's 5 waypoints. It's pretty long.
I'm a fan enough of that movie that I didn't have to research any of the answers to the question.
Good for you. All right.
What's the movie?
The Princess
Bride. Right.
There's a couple of Princess Bride caches out there that I would love to do. I think they're in California, though. It's a great movie. Well, I wish more people would come and do my As You Wish cache.
Watch the movie. You might enjoy it.
When I do my show notes, I'll put a link to it.
Okay. It would even be fun to do that as a group hunt. I'll lead it. If people want to put caches out there, the man that I talked to, he's for it. It just takes a little while to actually get your permit approved. There's so much land out there. He just said, don't put them by the cemeteries. So, I mean, it's like open game there.
What other hobbies do you have besides geocaching?
My time that takes me away from being able to geocache is coaching baseball. Both of my sons play, but one's in t-ball and the other's 10-year-old team. I manage the team and we play out of Pacific. Going to be finishing up this season next week, going for first place. It's a passion of mine. Yeah.
And so what kind of baseball do they play?
Full baseball rule. You know, every year in the league that we play out of St. Louis County. It's Manchester, Ellisville, Pond, even Eureka. What they do in that league is they introduce a rule every year. Well, they start at 8 years old, they're still doing pitching machine. And then at 9 years old, they introduce kid pitch. And then at 10, you introduce stealing. You introduce drop third strike. So now we're at full baseball. It's fun to watch. I mean, they are making plays. They're pitching strikes. There might be one walk an inning.
How much do you have to manage the parents?
I've had an interesting week. Let's just say that.
Alex is a lefty. He's a pitcher. So that's fun to watch when he's pitching.
Love that pickoff move to first. That's a great
and
one.
And to see his confidence grow so much as a pitcher is pretty cool, too.
Being a young family, we do kind of resemble a little bit more of a 50s family. They have a little bit of an old-fashioned lifestyle, I think. Sue stays home with the kids. Conservative church setting.
Bake a lot of apple pie.
Absolutely not.
Well, I'll free.
He's the cook
I'm the
in
apple
the family.
Pie.
Yeah, I don't show up opening the door for him in my heels and my apron. No.
I haven't had my slippers put in front of
That's not going to happen. Not in my lifetime.
She says, as she's toting her shotgun out the door.
Well, and another reason that I got into the whole gun thing is when we first got married, I was so anti-gun because I was uneducated about them. I didn't know anything about them, and I wasn't around them when I was younger. And
just kind of frightened by them, I guess.
Yeah, in a way. And now I just want my kids to know everything there is about them so that they're knowledgeable about them and they know how to handle them. So if they're ever in someone's home, they know what the right thing is and what the wrong thing is. You hear so much on the news about guns and with the school shootings. It just puts some fear in you if you're not educated or don't seek out to be educated about certain things. I did that. I tried to educate myself about it.
Well, guys, appreciate you taking the time. And
this was a lot of fun.
Hope it wasn't too painful.
It was good.
That was great.
It was good.
Thank you.
Okay. The end.
So how did you learn about podcasting?
I was working as a database developer at Scott Trade, browsing the internet a little bit. There's this thing called podcasting. I'd rather listen to music. Maybe I can learn something. And now I subscribe to maybe 15, 20 podcasts, and most of them are about technology. I never really had the opportunity to be like to go in and be one of those college DJs. But hey, got some extra money. There's a thing called geocaching, and I'm sort of bored with it. Well, how can I kind of bring it all together? Geocaching podcast! Just broke 1,400. It's not a lot for somebody who's been in it since the year 2001. The guys that I started with, they kept it up, and they're in 3,000, 4,000. There's a guy who's very prolific, Bruce S. His goal was to reach 5,000. As soon as he hit 5,000, he stopped caching and went into waymarking. And this was back in the days when geocaches were rare. He would plan Friday night to go all weekend, you know, from the time that the sun came up Saturday morning, he would be at the first cache until it got dark, and even into the dark. Then he would pitch a tent, get up the next morning, do that all Sunday by himself. So he didn't have teams of people. Yeah. He didn't have a cell phone to call people for help in the woods.
See, that's one thing that I wish I had. I was going to post that on the free list. It would be nice to have a list of people that you could call for help. Because
we call my cousin in Alaska all the time.
Call RGS. Call Strider. Those are the two people.
They don't know me, though. I don't know their phone number.
I can get it for you.
That would be nice to have that on the page somewhere. Because I'm at home, I'd be willing to say, okay, you know, here's what the clue is. So have you done the webcam
fashion? I have not done any webcam. I know there's one in St. Charles in this, like, this new area.
Yeah, we just did that a couple weeks ago. The new town, that's a strange place.
Everything is supposed to be kind of self-contained, that you live there.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can get everything you want without having to leave the confines.
It reminds me of that movie.
Oh, really?
The architecture is interesting. It's like they tried to rebuild an old city with not so much style of architecture, but more like this randomness of, but it was obviously planned. Well, I would call it like 1700 style city building, where very small front yards that maybe have like a flower garden in front of them, with the houses right on the street, walking street, that everything is a front porch and an outie neighbor, you know, because they were getting ready for a reggae fest. That's what it was.
I'm on the phone with my cousin
who's in Alaska, and there's a stage down there. That's where it's pointing to, central stage. They're getting ready for this reggae concert.
He's on the phone and he's like,
kind of walking out on the stage.
Now, do they have the ability to move that camera or zoom in and
zoom in? Walk in front of the speaker.
I can look at your roadie and just kind of like following the cables along. Like there was a webcam camera in St. Charles area, and I think it was close enough to Wi-Fi where you could bring your own laptop and then get a picture of yourself while you were there. Quite often when I introduce myself to people, they'll say, oh, you're the guy who does the podcast. I listen to that. So it's kind of neat. Every once in a while, I find out who's listening. I interviewed people in Arkansas, Tennessee. I interviewed the guy who did the GPS the movie and GPS the game. So one of my earlier podcast recordings was with him over the phone. I always put like a slog of business card when I go caching, and on the back it's my address for podcasts.
What happened with that movie?
They wanted to get in wide release on the bigger screens. They are not part of the Hollywood process. They've been willing to sit on it and look for specific areas around the country. They want at least a movie house that will put it out there for a week. They've been targeting different cities in the U.S. to say, can we get enough interest in there first before we do it? We don't want it just for a day or 2 days. Sure. We need it longer to really make some money. They know it's going to go to DVD, but they want it in the theaters first. And he was concerned at that time that there were going to be other people jumping on that whole GPS movie type thing. Let's use the GPS receiver and make it into our mystery. You should have had it on there.
This concludes the Slogger Podcast. For more information about the Slogger Group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.
Which they were getting ready for a reggae fest. That's what it was.
I'm on the phone with my cousin who's in Alaska,
and there's a stage down there. That's where it's pointing to, central stage. They're getting ready for this reggae concert.
He's on the phone and he's like,
kind of walking out on the stage.
Now, do they have the ability to move that camera or zoom in and
zoom in? Walk in front of the speaker.
I can look at your roadie and just kind of like following the cables along. Like there was a webcam camera in St. Charles area, and I think it was close enough to Wi-Fi where you could bring your own laptop and then get a picture of yourself while you were there. quite often when I introduce myself to people, they'll say, oh, you're the guy who does the podcast. I listen to that. So it's kind of neat. Every once in a while, I find out who's listening. I interviewed people in Arkansas, Tennessee. I interviewed the guy who did the GPS the movie and GPS the game. So one of my earlier podcast recordings was with him over the phone. I always put like a slog of business card when I go caching, and on the back is my address for podcasts.
What happened with that movie?
They wanted to get it in wide release on the bigger screens. They are not part of the Hollywood process. They've been willing to sit on it and look for specific areas around the country. They wanted at least a movie house that will put it out there for a week. They've been targeting different cities in the U.S. to say, can we get enough interest in there first before we do it? We don't want it just for a day or 2 days. Sure. We need it longer to really make some money. They know it's going to go to DVD, but they want it in the theaters first. And he was concerned at that time that there were going to be other people jumping on that whole GPS movie type thing. Let's use the GPS receiver and make it into our mystery. He should have had it on there.
This concludes the Slogga Podcast. For more information about the Slogga Group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.